What a professional podcast guest.
I don't know about that.
He's ready.
I mean, I kind of feel like Greg is essentially a co-host at this point. He's on. Yeah. He's on more than he's not on.
That's true.
So
just got so much info in there.
I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but
I think it's a good thing.
Until I get kicked out, I'll do what I'm asked. Yeah. Everyone's like, I'm sick of that guy. Yeah. Get him out of here.
Well, with that, welcome back to another Barnes podcast. As you heard, Greg said, hey, if you want to kick him off, just let him know, and he's out of here. So yeah.
Let me get to the comments. Let me make sure.
Exactly. Yeah. So, Colby, just be careful with.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how to avoid this. Yeah. This thing doesn't seem like it wants to stay. Yeah, it's maxed out here.
But. Right. Oh, there you go. There we go. Maybe.
We'll yeah, you might
staying
even,
for now.
You might be able to flip your headset and get the cord on your right
there
side.
There you go.
I told you. He's got a lot of info in there. He's a thinker.
Look at that.
There we go.
All nice. Right.
Pro.
So, as you've seen in our funny little intro here, I've got Greg Sloan with me today, and Colby.
Oh, Adamic. Come on. There we go. We got it.
Yes.
Take two.
It's taken me so long. I've known you for 10 years, and I still can't pronounce your last name
correctly.
Don't
feel horrible. I've met one person in my life that said it correct the first time to me, and I was, like, taken back. I was like,
yeah,
have I met you before?
So I need to hear it one more time. What is the correct
pronunciation? I was telling him last time we were on here, it's my wife came up with this, which, again, I've had this name my whole entire life, and within the first year of her being married to me, she's like, it's like Atomic with a D. I was like, yeah, that's an easy way to get it across for sure.
There you go.
Yeah.
So,
but it definitely looks like Adamic.
Yeah,
it does.
So yep. Adamic.
Adamic.
Yep. All right. Good so we wanted to have, you know, Colby was on here for the Harvest Collection podcast that we did a little while ago. But we wanted to bring Greg in here. You know, Colby's down here at the facility today and kind of just talk about like the differences with Sierra and Barnes.
Yeah.
Just kind of have just like a natural conversation. Talk about like hunts that you're excited for this fall.
Yeah.
You know, just learn more about Colby and
yeah.
What can we talk about that's exciting?
Oh, I guess we can talk about the facility. You just got the quick walk around. Yeah. I don't know. As someone that's in this space, it's always interesting to see what everybody else is doing, what their processes are, right?
Yeah.
You guys have an impressive setup for sure. I guess the other thing too to mention, right? Like Sierra, we're a component manufacturer. So seeing the welded right. ammunition side of things
yeah.
is super interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, we talked about this, but I got a quick version of the tour. I'd love to come back for the, yeah. the in-depth version because, it's yeah. All the machinery, I feel like you can kind of make a 10-15 minute stop at each one and nerd out on looking at what it's doing in detail and right. understanding the intricacies of it because I don't know. I feel like until you go through a bullet factory and ammunition factory, you think, oh, it's all so simple. And then you start looking at it and you're like, there's a lot going on here.
Yeah. A lot more than people think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, it's neat. I agree. Like it's neat to see other people's facilities, how they do things. Yeah. I've been out to Sierra at one time. I'd like to go again, but it's always cool to see how
yeah.
other guys are doing it, but it's involved and everyone has their own, you know, slight differences and differences yeah. in equipment and processes. And
seeing the water tank is cool, right? Like that's something yeah. that as a cup and core bullet company, we don't have that you guys have. That's pretty fascinating to see. You guys' range is super impressive. I was telling them, I felt like I was in like James Bond's like cave because those lights down there,
yeah.
you know, ours is just lit up at the end or whatnot. Yeah. So you don't really have the perception of how far it is, but your little trick where you shine on the lights at the first 100 yards and the second and then the 300 yards, like, holy smokes. Yeah, like
it's a long way.
300 yards is a long way.
It yeah. looks a lot different. Puts it in perspective for sure.
Yeah.
You know, 300 like, yards in the tunnel.
And our range is slightly different. You know, I've been down to Weatherby's 300 yard range that they have underground as well. And ours is like very different than theirs. Even it's super interesting how different, again, different manufacturers just do things differently.
Yeah.
So it's pretty.
Yeah, because they're another one, right? They just have like the target lit up. And so it yep. looks like a little, like almost a speck of light.
Yeah.
Way down at the end of this tunnel, you know?
Right.
Like, again, the perception and of 300 yards, like, oh my gosh.
Like, it's literally essentially just a culvert that yeah. goes all the way out to 300 yards, right? Yeah. Where ours is, I mean, it's a
garage.
Yeah. Basically, almost like a huge freaking hallway.
Yeah.
The entire way down. So it's very, yeah. very different.
Yeah. The old Barnes facility, they were at before this current facility. So over 15, actually over 16 years ago,
yeah.
In American Fork, Utah, that's how it was. The first 100 yards was concrete walls, similar to this, not as nice. And then the last 200 yards was a culvert. And okay. So, yeah, it's a huge difference when you've got the full 12 to 16 foot width, you know, full ceiling height,
yeah.
concrete tunnel the whole way down.
Yeah.
Makes it nice.
Oh, it's super
it also
nice.
Makes it very loud.
It is loud. Yeah.
So not shooting a lot of breaks down there, I imagine.
No. There's some cool stuff, though, to that sound thing. This is kind of an off random comment, but years ago I was working on a special project with some suppressed 308 on a short barrel. We were developing it was for a special contract, not a commercial offering.
Yeah.
We're developing a 308 subsonic round, and it was super interesting to shoot in the 300-yard tunnel because you would pull the trigger, you know, and hardly any noise. I mean, you're hearing the firing pin drop, the spring more than anything.
Wow. Yeah.
And you would kind of hear this weird, like, bonk. And it was just cool every time. You could take your muffs off.
Really?
Yeah, and you could just doof. Bonk. It was crazy.
That's funny.
So what is with these ranges here, like the months leading up before hunting season, do you have employees start like blocking off their range time to come check their zeros?
Yeah, it we have to obviously limit that, you know, we still have work to do.
Oh,
but yeah, we
there's that, I guess
there is that. Yeah, no, it they may used a time or two there. Yeah. We try to have to, you know, I mean, more it's usually they'll bring their guns in. The lab guy's going to help them get it zeroed and yeah. check velocity.
They drop it off to you like, hey, can I have yeah. this ready to go by the end of the day?
Pretty yeah. much. Pretty much. That's the easier way to do it. It kind of helps us as well keep a little more controlled. But
yeah.
Well, and also those guys are very meticulous on like cleaning rifles after shots and all that type of stuff. Like,
yeah,
I was having some issues with my 7PRC because 7PRCs are notorious for leaving a lot of carbon build up, right? Yep. And I actually, my gun is so quote well built, right? It's very tight already, and then you start putting that carbon in yeah. there, and I was getting kind of a little bit of that build up, so I was just like, can you clean this correctly for me?
Yeah, so. We clean a lot of guns, get a lot of guns ready, yeah. you know, but back in the day, way back when, you know, back in even the Randy Brooks days,
yeah,
it was always like some buddy of his is going to Africa, here's a gun, figure it out, work up a load,
signing you up. Yeah, yeah.
We got this cool hunt we're going to do somewhere, we got the behind the scenes, you know, we didn't get to go on the really cool hunts, but it's like, hey, I worked on that guy's gun.
Yeah,
that's yeah, that cool? I basically made him be able to kill that animal because yeah. he never shot it before he pulled that trigger.
Probably true. Yeah. That's a lot funny. Of truth there.
Yeah, well, okay, so we learned a little bit about Colby and or I guess talked a little bit there. Like, tell us some more. What do you have planned for this season?
We are staying in Montana. I'm over from Bozeman. So we're staying in Montana for the most part, but picked up a Wyoming deer tag. I'm pretty excited about. So
do you have an antelope tag this year?
No, I was gonna. I have the points to go draw an antelope tag, and
I think in Wyoming.
Yeah. Yep. That I think it's a good year to do it.
Yeah.
And so I was tempted momentarily to do that, but I thought I should be drawing this deer tag and
go do that.
I'm a deer nerd. So I was like, I'm going to throw all my eggs in that basket and do that. But
it's a good choice.
Gives me an excuse to go back next year and,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
do it next year. So
absolutely.
I was hoping you were going to draw Utah, but
I know. Yeah. Greg
what about me?
Put you too.
Oh, okay.
Everyone.
Everybody should draw Utah.
Good luck.
Do you hear that? Greg's to blame, bringing all the non-residents.
Not everyone. Everyone in the Barnes Sierra
fam.
You can hunt Utah. Nobody else.
Yeah, I think he's working for the DNR. We're sitting at dinner. He talked the whole table into applying and giving them their phones.
I know,
it's true.
Yeah, they got an extra $1,000-$1,500 that night.
Is he getting commissions?
I should. Yeah, you'd think it'd help me draw tags, but it doesn't. So
yeah. So yeah, we'll be focusing on Wyoming to kick off the season. Their seasons are super early over there. It's like September 15th is the opener for those rifle seasons. So we'll be doing that and then heading over to Montana, hoping to draw an antelope tag there.
Yeah.
That's a hunt, man. I don't know. I've got like mixed plans for that. It's traditionally been a hunt that I've saved for my boy since he's got more interested in that stuff.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, a rare opportunity to go spend that time with him where it's just me and him and
right.
he's getting more into hunting and he's only five. So it's like, this is a very controlled version. Yeah. Right? Like it's much so much more so about the truck camping and going and grabbing
antelope hunting's like the perfect opportunity for that, right?
It's awesome, man. Yeah. We set it up for like it's very low stress and very low pressure. Right. And I think for me, I've come to love that because like I don't know if it's from being in the hunting industry or whatnot. You just feel this pressure around you have a tag and whether it's being filmed or not being filmed, you want to go out and perform and, you know, have that success. And sometimes I feel like I put too much weight into the pressure of being successful outside of just enjoying the hunt.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, that antelope hunt for the last couple of years has been a good rain check for me to like reel things back in and be like, this is why we're here. You know, this is an experience that I'm just going to enjoy. And I do not care if I kill an antelope outside of like my son gets so jacked to see it that I'm like, you know, it's like, it changes, I guess. It's like, I'm no longer trophy hunting or looking for the biggest animal. It's like whatever gives us the opportunity that's going to be like fun for him. Like that's what we're doing.
Yeah. You know? What was the first hunt that you took him on?
Antelope. Yeah. It's kind of been our one hunt that we've done. So I started taking him when he was not quite three yet on the first time we took him, but I don't know, man, he's just grown up in Bozeman and like, he's been exposed to fishing and he knows dad likes to hunt. So, I've taken him from a pretty young age, but it's like I said, it's at times that first year, it's like hardly hunting. It's like, we're driving around camping and like, if we see an antelope, like we'll go walk in on him and, you know, see what happens. But,
how old was he? Was it last year? The first time you did it when he was four?
That was our second year. There was a year that we didn't draw. Okay. So, yeah.
So he did it when he was three?
Yeah. He was like two and a half or something like that.
Gotcha.
And then, this year, hopefully, so this will be his third year getting out.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. I've been chomping at the bit to take my daughter, my oldest daughter, right? She's three and a half. I really want to take her turkey hunting.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, again, turkey hunting is kind of like I always say it's my first love, right? Yeah. Like there's a reason I have turkey feathers on my arm.
It was close to you, right? When you grew up,
the Southeast, right? I was hunting whitetails and turkeys. Like that was my two things to do.
Yeah.
So I just absolutely love turkey hunting, but also like I'm a fanatic when it comes to it, right? Like I'm always the dude that's up at 3:30 in the morning, right? Like I have to be in there 30 minutes before daylight, like be up under the roost, whatever, find a roost.
Yep.
So I almost want to like have that experience of like, hey, if we sleep till 9 a.m., like we can still go find a bird gobbling, right? Like, and just like experience from that child's point of view again, right? And it's like, if we just stop and start picking wildflowers or something or chasing butterflies, right? Like, why not just do that and just slow down? And I'll bet that we still kill just as many birds as I kill now. Yeah, you know what I mean?
For sure.
So yeah, I've been chomping at the bit. Like you've got quite a bit of kids, right? Yeah. So I guess when did you kind of get them into that hunting scene?
Yeah, pretty early. Yeah, I've got four kids, two boys, two girls, and my girls kind of more, you know, they make it to some camps and kind of some truck hunts, you know, but they, my boys really early, probably stupid early.
Yeah.
My oldest who's 16 now, I had and it's just like a doe antelope tag. So it's not some crazy serious hunt, but he was like, he was born in June and we were out that November hunting antelope.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
That's awesome. Nice.
Yeah. So my wife probably, she's a good woman, but she, made the hike down this canyon. I'd killed this antelope. She was packing, you know, this, however long that is, 5-6 month old baby out there. So pretty nice. Early. I have some memories of killing a cow elk with a couple little boys under the age of five. No, you know, one of them was in diapers. He was probably under the age of two.
Wow.
No extra diapers, those kind of things. I've usually found like success happens when you're less prepared when it comes to hunting with kids. So if I can forget extra snacks, food, diapers, a knife, those kind of things, it's like we're going to kill something today.
This is going to be super stressful. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, those hunts with kids are awesome. Start them young.
Yeah.
Like it's, and you brought up a good point. Like it doesn't, every hunt doesn't have to be the pressure, the trophy hunting. You know, I got to go hike the deepest canyon, you know, find the biggest deer on the mountain, those kind of things. And for sure.
Yeah.
Antlerless tags and antelope hunts and those kind of things are generally when I try to get them those experiences first.
Right.
For sure. Yeah.
Sweet. So deer?
Yeah, so we'll go Wyoming, then we'll come back, do antelope hopefully, and then we'll have a deer hunt, which I'm kind of saving for November, and then I'll be going out with Zach and Jared, Montana Wild guys, yeah, and doing a hunt with them and kind of leaving it open right now. The plan is, like, hopefully I've filled my deer tag by then and I'll just be packing an elk tag and they'll have deer tags and
nice,
kind of be an opportunity hunt.
Yeah.
Go hit the mountains a little bit and see what we find. But if I haven't filled my deer tag, then we'll be packing both and who knows what will happen. It could be fun. Cool.
Is your Wyoming deer tag a really good tag? More of a general hunt? Is it like a soft? I mean, you don't have to obviously say what unit
yeah,
it is.
But. No, it's an in-between tag. Cool. It's not the best of the best. It's not a slouch of a tag, but it's one I'm excited about more than anything. I just have been wanting to go to Montana or Wyoming for, I mean, since I was in college, you know, and just some of these tags that I'm looking at drawing now that when I was in college was like, oh, you can just go do it.
Yeah.
You can go pick it up in 2-3 years, you know.
Yeah,
right.
Now the way point creep is seemingly happening everywhere.
Yeah.
Since I put these hunts off now,
yeah.
Oh, I'm burning 10 points to go do these hunts.
And
I know how that goes.
Crazy, yeah. But
I mean, that's basically what you have to do in Utah if you're even just a resident.
Yeah, yeah.
Feels like it.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. What are you going to be shooting? In anything you can talk about, or some up and comers?
No, yeah, we can talk about it. I'm planning on shooting the MKX, the Match King X stuff for the majority of those hunts.
Yeah.
I kind of want to fill out the story, right? Like, you can go take it and shoot a match season and shoot competitions with it and then take it hunting and do that. And, you know, we did some of the match stuff earlier this year, and that's what I've shot and I've been shooting. And so now I want to go complete that story, if you will, and kind of live what we are preaching about that bullet. And take it from shooting a comp and take it into the mountains and hopefully find a big old buck to put it into. So
yeah,
cool.
We'll see. But no, yeah, I mean, more than anything, like, I've just been shooting that all summer and built a confidence with it. So it's like kind of one of those things. I don't want to go mess up my confidence and switch a bullet right now. And that's what that bullet was designed to do. So that's what we'll do. And then, if we get towards later in the season, might be testing out some new stuff, but well, yeah, we'll kind of see where.
And you're shooting 6.5 PRC, right?
6.5 PRC, yeah. Yep. Yeah, I think it's one of those things that I started shooting. It was the first nice gun I got, right? It was a 6.5 PRC, and they're just, like, easy to manage. It just doesn't kick the crap out of you, but it's still got enough oomph to knock over just about anything you want with it.
Right.
But more than anything, it's just time behind the gun, and it's the gun I feel confident with right now. So
nice.
Sweet. Yeah, at least for the Wyoming tag that I've got 10 years of points into, we're gonna go use something we're confident in and make sure that goes well. So that's the plan right now. But
sweet.
Yeah. How about you? You're taking. What are you taking on your sheep hunt up in a week?
257 Weatherby.
Nice.
Yeah, sweet. I was at Tyler's wedding a couple weeks ago, right? And then Adam was there. He officiated the wedding well. And we got to talking for a little bit. And I was telling him he didn't know about the sheep hunt. Tyler hadn't filled him in on that whole thing. And I was kind of bouncing back and forth. And I was like, do I take my 7 PRC or do I take the 257? And he was just like, just take the 257.
Yeah.
Like, your shots are going to be within 400 yards more than likely.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's so flat, right? And I was also telling him about reserve and everything.
Yeah.
So,
he killed a sheep with a 257, didn't he?
I'm not sure.
I want to say I thought he did.
Are you talking about that, like, Fannin that he killed a couple years ago? He might have. I thought that they were shooting a little bit something. I thought they were shooting, like, 6.5 RPM or 6.5 300.
Oh, maybe it was 6.5 RPM.
I thought, but I know that he's a pretty big fan of that one.
Yeah.
Because they also shot a wolf and a Brenda shot a giant caribou on that hunt.
Yeah.
Absolutely giant caribou. But yeah, I'm going to take 257. I think that, it just makes way too much sense to do it. So
nice. I'm
super excited about it.
Nice.
So
be fun. That's crazy, man. 1 week.
I know.
Going sheep hunting.
I know. What's funny is I was actually talking to my parents on the drive down this morning, coming to the facility, And my mom's like, are you excited? Like you're leaving to go. And I was like, I haven't even thought about it. Like I've been so busy with work, like with the reserve launch coming and just everything else. Right. Like, I mean, I feel like we're filming so many different podcasts and everything to kind of front load, right. For the remainder of the season. And, you know, all of that, like I haven't even had time to like let myself.
Yeah.
As like when I pack on the Tuesday before I go get on a flight on Wednesday, probably when I get on that flight, like it'll hit me. Or when I land in Fairbanks, in right?
Yeah,
like
for sure.
That's when it's really going to hit me and get excited, which I almost like kind of want that to happen, right? Like, because I don't want to be overwhelmed and almost like let the anticipation like build up too much that you know start getting knots in your stomach and all that. I mean, I kind of did that on the moose hunt a little bit. Like I feel like I overthought about it as it was coming.
Yeah.
Instead of just like going and doing it. I've maybe I'm different than some people. It's kind of like I almost like to like think about it a little bit, prep it out, plan it out, and then like not think about it for a little bit.
Sure.
Pack my gear, step on, you know, step off and let's go do it.
Yeah. Like you said, I mean, it's almost hard. Like Alaska is such a different beast in my mind. Yeah. Like you can think you're excited, then you get there. When you step like feet down in Alaska, right. It's like totally different. You're like, oh yeah, we're here, we're doing it.
Yeah, I can't. I've never hunted Alaska. I want to someday. I've not done that big of a hunt yet, so I can only imagine because I can get pretty jacked up just for some local deer hunts and elk hunts. Dude. And so I can't imagine. I'd probably be a mess.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, and you know, there's some of these hunts, right? I mean, Colby and I did moose, not together, but the same almost we were the same time frame, right? We were like a week apart.
Yeah.
And complete opposite areas of Alaska.
Yeah.
So I mean you can still do a pretty easy DIY hunt for that, but like blacktail is pretty easy to do DIY, black bear, right? Like there's a lot of these hunts out there that are still pretty easy to do DIY that at least kind of get your foot in the door of doing something in Alaska and understanding like the main thing about Alaska is understanding that the logistics, whatever you think that you should do, just go ahead and add another day on the front and the back of it.
Yeah.
Right. Cause it's everything is just, it's a whole different like pace up there, if you will. Right. Like if you get weathered out, like just smile and keep on going. You're in Alaska hanging out, you know?
Yeah. I think for me too, when we were up there in Alaska, we talked to the airlines and they're basically like, they have such an understanding of the way things go up there that, you know, part of the stress for me was like, oh, we have to be back on this date because that's when our flight leaves.
Right.
But it turns out they're super flexible. If you're like, hey, we got weathered in. They're like, oh, no problem. Here's your new ticket.
Yeah. Cool. It's funny. So I was talking to Brandon, right? When I was like buying my ticket and everything. And he's like, just buy a one way.
Yeah. That's the way to do it.
Cause I was like, whoa. Because I was stressing because I hadn't talked to the outfitter in 7-10 days, something like that. And I was like, I need to buy my ticket because I need to get up there and I don't know what day we're going to be out and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I ended up just like talking to Brandon and he's like, dude, just buy a one-way ticket and then just buy your one-way ticket home whenever you, because Alaska Airlines is so easy to like get a ticket, especially out of Fairbanks.
Yeah.
Right. And then catching a flight from Seattle to Billings is pretty damn easy as well. So, that's what I ended up doing. So I'm just like, it's whatever. I'll buy a ticket when I land back in Fairbanks after the hunt. So,
Speaking of like hunts to get excited for, the first time I went to Alaska was with Pete for his sheep hunt. Okay. I was just photographing it.
I did not know that you were on that.
Yeah. I was up there just doing all the photo stuff for that.
Nice.
But the entire hunt that we were up there in sheep country, we were seeing black bears everywhere. I mean, you're up in this like subalpine and it's just coming in with blueberries and like not exaggerating, we'd see 5-7 black bears a day and like all big bears, and it's in country, we're seeing sheep. So that's like my hunt that I've got excited about for next year is like I want to go back, and because the country is like, I mean, it's the coolest part about a sheep hunt, right? And so I was like, I want to go back and do this backcountry Alaska black bear hunt, eating off of blueberries in the late summer. You know, it's Alaska. Their coats come in sooner, so they're thick and looking good. And you get to go look at doll sheep and stuff while you're black bear hunting.
Well,
it's super cheap, man. A black bear tag up there.
Like $300.
It's super cheap. Yeah, so you're up there. If you do it right with your points and you can get a get a flight up there for free, and then you're in it, food and a $300 Black Bear tag and a
rental car, maybe
rental car. And yeah, it's, there's opportunity.
I mean, sure. Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
You can do a lot of those things for, I mean, to be 100% honest, right? 1500 to $2,000, like all in and done, which is pretty wild. Cause I mean, you can't, I mean, even lower 48 hunts are more expensive than that between tags and everything else.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You're going to run over to Colorado and do the same thing, right? You're going to be out a couple hundred bucks for the tag and the gas money getting over there. It's like, it could end up being the same price.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Close to, at least.
And speaking of like that bear hunt, right? Like one of the cool things about Alaska is essentially they have their bear season is like year round, and it starts like July 1 and it runs through like June 30th and then it just starts again, right? So like those over the counter tags, I mean, and in some units you can buy like multiple tags. So that would be kind of an interesting thing. Cause that I was going to ask as you were kind of talking about that, right? I'm assuming you're up there for the sheep hunt in August.
Yep.
So are you going to do like a late July type of hunt? Like when you say late summer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Huh. I think that's what it would end up being. I'd have to look and see what exactly the season dates were for that unit.
Well, I know,
I
like
say there was some stuff that overlapped in parts of that unit.
Yeah. I mean, I know like in Southeast Alaska, that I guess that's where I was talking about that. Like, it's like a,
right.
Like if you have a tag, it's like July 1 to like June 30th the next year type of thing. It's like a super interesting.
I'd have to verify. I want to say we were kicking ourselves because we had the option to get a bear tag. Because Pete was like, you should get a bear tag. And I was like, I'll just photograph whatever. Like, I'm not going to see a bear up there, you know? And here we were seeing them all over the place. We're like, dang it, we should have gone.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong, but I want to say it overlapped with the rumor.
Greg, you have some notes there.
And yeah.
And I know that we were going to try to make this like a pretty quick podcast. So do we need to hit any major hitters in your notes?
We can hit some quick, you know, just talking about hand loading, you know, barns, all copper bullets, kind of how it differs maybe from traditional lead core, you know, kind of more what Sierra's used to.
Yeah.
You know, Barnes obviously does some lead core stuff as well with the Matchburner line, the originals, but just kind of some top notes for kind of tips and tricks for, you know, what differs when you're going to hand load copper bullets.
Yeah, I think that we could do that. I would also love to hear your guys's kind of back and forth between like a Match King versus a Match Burner, right? Yeah. Like what are the differences in those bullets? And I mean, you guys can even debate like which one's better.
Yeah.
Oh man, getting us on the spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can start with that if you want.
Yeah.
Let's talk really about Match Burner, and it's more. It is a traditional cup and core bullet, obviously. It's jacket, it's lead core, obviously designed for match accuracy, high BC. You know, for Barnes, it is, you know, still premium product, but it's definitely a lot lower price point just because of the material, the process.
Yeah.
It doesn't cost us as much to manufacture.
Right.
You know, so it is, it's really, you know, it's actually a really good bargain if you're looking at, if you're a competition shooter, a match shooter, a guy shooting PRS or NRL or just going to the range on the weekend, it's priced really good for the performance.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not going to say it's better than a Match King.
Sitting here trying to think how I'm going to differentiate.
Yeah.
I mean, there's similar construction processes,
yeah,
right?
I mean, yeah. Sierra has their way of doing things. Barnes has ours. There are some differences.
Yeah.
I don't know the very, you know, detailed process of the Match King, but I have been to the facility, and I do know there are some differences in process and equipment. You know, I've tested a lot of Match Kings.
Yeah.
I've kind of benchmarked Match Burners against. You know, there's some great bullets. You know, I think one thing I would bring up is not to take away from the Match King at all, but the Match Burner, you know, especially some of the standouts, like we have some very accurate Match Burners out there that I would say I would put, you know, right there with a Match King.
Yeah.
Which is saying something, you know, not to take away from the Match King. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, that is
Match
King.
Yeah. No. I was going to say that the SMK is kind of, you know, quote, the pinnacle, right? Of a match bullet. Like, obviously, it's been around for how many years?
Almost 70 years now.
Right. Yeah. And it still continues to, you know, be one of the top dogs, if not the top dog in the space.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, I mean, I guess I don't really know how to differentiate it from, you know, what you just mentioned. It's a lot of the same process stuff, but similarly in our line, you know, traditionally our match bullets tend to be a more affordable price point compared to our hunting bullets. I think just the construction process that goes into a hunting bullet to, you know, again, we hold a lot of our hunting bullets to match grade accuracy standards.
Yeah.
So externally, you have a lot of similarities. It's all the intricacies going on the inside,
right?
You know, the lead and the composition of the lead, the tapering of jackets, and, you know, skiving, different things you can do with those jackets to help them expand. That's kind of additional stuff, right? So,
right.
It just supports too those guys that are buying those match bullets. You know, looking at volumes, what are you going and shooting in a hunting bullet, right? Like those guys that have their hunting bullets and their setups are, you know, what, 100, 200 rounds a year.
Right.
Most guys, maybe that might be a lot.
Yeah.
You have your competitive shooters that on the upper end will shoot 15,000 rounds a year.
That's so crazy. Yeah.
It's wild. Huh. And you know, that's the elite of the elite.
Right.
Those are the guys that are going and competing for PRS titles and right. NRL titles and doing all that stuff, but they exist and you certainly can't afford to go.
Yeah.
Go shoot 15,000 bullets at the same price as a hunting bullet all the time. So,
you know, I will bring up too, I mean, the offerings that Sierra has in the Match King is obviously far greater.
Yeah.
You know, than what we have the Match.
Yeah, larger catalog.
Right. Larger right. catalog, yeah. more calibers and weights and styles. Where the Match Burner is a pretty small offering, you know, pretty small line, but there's some standouts. The 224 diameter 77 grain, you know, is an excellent Match Burner. The 264 140, you know, we have a couple of really high BC, very aggressive designs with the 6mm 112 grain and the 65 145 that are pretty big standouts. But, you know, as somebody, like I said, we shoot a lot of competitor bullets, you know, regardless of the manufacturer, just a benchmark.
Yeah.
And I can say from years of testing, you know, Sierras have been impressive. You know, both on the tolerance side, I think there's a lot to kind of push us to drive us to be better, to try to improve our, you know, weight variation and based ogive variation, all those kind of things that Sierra holds themselves to. So I can credit Sierra to say they build a good product. And as Barnes and Sierra has done more, you know, obviously we're sister companies, we're separate companies, we're separate facilities, but we do a little more collaboration than we have in the past. We have had the even more opportunities, you know, the harvest line, obviously,
right,
where we're loading Sierra TGKs in Barnes ammo, and as well as just doing testing, you know, helping out the Sierra guys on the R&D side, doing Doppler radar work. We've done some of that for them just because of the facility and the equipment we have. We've shot some Sierra Match Kings and some TMKs, and they can shoot.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
they can flat out shoot, but so can Match Burners. You know,
right?
Yeah.
I think that's one of the coolest things to me. We kind of talked about it on the last podcast we did, right, about some of the collaboration that's coming from both brands.
Yeah.
Working more closely together, and like to me, the most exciting stuff is like when you and Mark get together. Who Mark is like the R&D guy on the Sierra side.
Yeah,
it just like your guys' knowledge of bullet development is here and mine is here. So hearing you guys like nerd out about it. And,
yeah. Well, and Mark's been at Sierra for
almost 30 years.
It was like 28 years or something like that.
Yeah. I don't have much to brag about when my tenure at Barnes, when I start talking to some of those.
Oh, yeah.
But we have those guys here too. You know, I mean, I can't take credit at all. You know, manufacturing engineers, you know, guys like our general manager, Greg Christians and Carl, you know, Mitchell on the R&D side, you know, Chris and the guys out on the presses. There's a lot of years of experience at Barnes that goes into developing and building these bullets every day, just like on the Sierra side. It's pretty neat to see.
Yeah.
You know, you hear guys like Tommy over on Sierra. I mean, I think he's been there like
30-something plus years.
Yeah. You know, that guy's knowledge and experience is unreal.
Right. And he probably, like, doesn't he fire like 500,000 rounds a year or something like that?
It's someone like just casually dropped to me the other day that he's like a 25-time national F-class champion. And I was like,
What? Yeah.
Why is this being hidden from the world?
Yeah.
The guy developing our bullets and testing our bullets is.
Yeah. And I think that's probably a big difference. Again, I mean, Barnes as an overall company, obviously hunting is the majority of our focus. We do some match where Sierra is very match focused with some hunting.
It's kind of interesting, right? Like personally, and Colby, you can correct me if I'm wrong, right? Like I look at Barnes as like an 80-20, like hunting to match or other type of lines, where like to me, Sierra is almost the same, but opposite, right? Yeah. Like it's more match focused.
Yeah. Not quite as extreme.
Yeah. I mean, but it might be more 60-40 something.
Yeah. Definitely more weighted towards the match stuff and just, you know, there's a reason we came out with Match King X, right?
Right.
There's such a popularity around Match King, and that's what guys first associate with Sierra.
Right.
You know, maybe Tip Game King, since that's been introduced, is becoming more and more popular. But, yeah, Match King is a staple, a longtime staple of Sierra.
Right.
And so, yeah, it makes sense. I mean, right, we had guys calling up like, hey, I'm shooting this all year. Can I go shoot a deer with it? Well, no, like you could, but that's not what that bullet was designed to do, right? It's not, again, the internal ballistics of that bullet was not designed with expansion in mind. That was not, it was to be as accurate as possible.
Right.
So it just made sense. And we started looking at, okay, we have all this large consumer base that's shooting these bullets. They want to go hunt with it. They have a familiarity with it. They've been shooting it for years. They shoot tens of thousands of rounds sometimes a year.
Yeah.
Why not give them an option where they can go, you know, plug that into a hunting round and have that same familiarity they've had for years, and now they can go hunt with it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, we were kind of alluding to it and going into a segue, and I know that, again, we have to wrap this pretty quick, but I would love to hear your guys' thoughts as well as the audience's thoughts, right? Like, we kind of talked about Match Burner and Match King, and we've talked about Harvest, how, you know, we've done this collaboration with Sierra, right? And it's a kind of a co-branded, obviously Barnes, you know, has their main head stamp on it. But, you know, I would love to hear the audience's thoughts on potentially, you know, bringing some Sierra products into like the Precision Match line, right? Like that could potentially open doors that we could do some cool stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, and I kind of said that already with the offerings. You know, there's some Match Burners that are standouts that, you know, belong in the Precision Match ammo line and would stay there. But there's opportunities where, you know, maybe it makes sense to look at some Match Kings or Tip Match Kings as well.
Match Kings or Match King X or something like that, for sure. And again, that's where I'm kind of like trying to kind of open it up for the audience, right? Is like, are there people out there that want that, you know, and or that are already loading Match Kings or something? And like, they're like, man, I just really wish that I could find this in a really, really nice factory loaded ammo round, right? So,
well, and that's kind of that that transition. You know, we've talked, Sierra is a bullet company, Barnes is a bullet company, was a bullet company. Right. That's our legacy.
Yeah.
But as we've transitioned into an ammo company as well,
yep.
You know, and really that's even where the majority of our growth has been. Mm-hmm. You know, we're still a bullet company at heart. Don't get me wrong. But as we move more into the ammunition side, we want to make sure we have a full catalog of offerings in all the different, you know, spaces, not just hunting, not just solid copper, you know, but what other, you know, opportunities are there to have the Barnes precision and quality in loaded ammunition.
Yeah. That was one thing I, you know, as one of the guys that's directly responsible for this, I feel like I should give kudos to you, but when we were talking in our last podcast, I feel like one of the things that you guys do really well is, you know, even for example, in Harvest, which we are dubbing as, you know, an affordable entry price point level ammunition, the quality and the groups that those things are putting together, beating, you know, $60, $70 boxes of ammo.
Yeah.
I think that you guys are not only expanding into ammo, but you're doing it really well.
Yeah,
being competitive, and that's why from Sierra, it's super exciting to be partnered with you guys, right? And seeing the full potential come from our bullets when you're partnered with the right people that are putting out ammo options that are affordable, quote unquote, that are punching same holes, and you're seeing it pop up all over social media. It's not a one off. You're not seeing it here and there. It's every day.
Yeah,
you're seeing people throwing up their groups of what they're shooting with it. So it's cool to see.
Yeah, for sure.
It is super cool. All right, guys. You good? You got anything else that you want to talk about, Greg?
I think we're good. We can cover, like I said, we had some notes. I think there's probably a lot more to cover in the time we have, so it probably deserves a separate podcast. So we'll leave it for that.
Maybe we'll have one of these days. We got to get into the nuts and bolts of tipped and non-tipped. That's like a whole new thing I've been.
Yeah, I think
that'd be a fun one.
Yeah, we could do that. We could bring Mitchell in here as well, right? As a engineer, he could probably go deep into that, which would be kind of fun. I was kind of, as we were kind of talking about this, I was like, I think I'm going to name this Catching Up with Colby, and now we just have a reason for a Catching Up with Colby part 2.
There we go.
So
there we go.
Yeah, I told him he needs to come back and we need to go do some shooting. We need more time.
Go to
the range.
Yep.
Maybe we'll do a head-to-head Sarah versus Barnes. We'll find out which one. Match burner versus match game.
I got to get my shooting in before I show
up. Don't invite Mark or Tommy.
There you go.
Okay. I'm not saying anything against them.
What you do is you just don't give him a freaking 15-pound gun. You give him like an actual hunting rifle and see what they can do with it.
Yeah. I'd love to have Mark and Tommy down. I didn't want it to sound that way. I just don't want to shoot against them.
Right.
Yeah. No, that'd be fun. We definitely got to find a way to get Mark and Tommy on here.
Yeah. I think that would be, I don't know. That'd be a long podcast.
That's where I want to go. I want us like Mark and Tommy, you and Mitchell, like just sit down and be like, all right, we're going to walk away for 2 hours and come back. Yeah. We'll check on you.
Exactly. Like I'll just be here to like, okay, hey guys, we need to like move from this because you just talked about it for 42 minutes.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks guys. Appreciate everyone listening to the Barnes podcast and we will see you soon.